from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week we are looking at an article written by Don Taylor, who is the chair of the Learning and Performance. He will be familiar to many listeners, and if not, he chairs the Learning Technologies Conference, and he's basically a very experienced learning and development professional and leader, I think it's fair to say. And he has written a piece called Staples, Wallflowers and Value: Why 2020 is a Crucial Year for Learning and Development. And Nigel selected this as worthy of comment and general kicking around. So Nigel, I'm going to pass the baton to you and tell us why we're kicking this around today.
Well, we're kicking it around because it talks about the L&D Global Sentiment Survey. That comes out every January, and it's gone from a couple of hundred people responding to, according to Don, 2,200 people this year. And essentially, everyone is presented with a list of 15 trends in L&D, I suppose would be the right word. And they have to pick the top three. They consider the top three. This is then processed, analyzed by Don, and he releases a brief report on it. So what? Well, I think that there are three or four so whats. The first so what is that this has been going for 6 years. So you do get trends and tendencies. And that's in itself quite interesting, given that it's pretty much the same people, even though there are increasing numbers of people. Secondly, Don has identified two groups from amongst the responders. And that's quite interesting. The first group are the quick to react, the ones who immediately respond. He calls them the people who are on the top of the trends, tend to reflect the fact that they're right at the leading edge in their responses. And then a bigger group, Group B, who tend to be running about 2 years behind the Group A's. And what he calls them are the opinion leaders, Group A, and then the if you like, the workers, the ones who actually do the business in learning and development in Group B. And what he's saying is that when you have a new idea that's picked up by Group A and then is embraced a little later by Group B, you get a really sense of movement and direction. But when something is picked up by Group A, Group B says, too early, not interested, not going to go, then that trend kind of drops off the list. So he sees this process, this dynamic process of ideas embraced by a few, then picked up a little later by those who are going to run with them, implement them. So if you like, there are the ideas people and the pragmatists. There are the people who operate at a high level, overall looking at L&D, and those who are down in the weeds, and down in the weeds having to deliver, having to have their impact measured, having to be judged by the effectiveness of what they do in the organization. And that is kind of helpful. I don't think it's anything new. I think we've always known that there are people who, thought leaders, if you like, who lead the field, and there are people who come along and embrace those ideas. And if you pick someone like Josh Burson, who'd ever heard of a learning experience platform before he called it an LXP? Now, that is a familiar, 2 years on, that is a familiar term. Now we have Fosway coming along saying, LSP, obsolete term, we've got to talk about suites of learning as against specialist learning providers. So we constantly think about the field and make decisions about the field. And that is quite helpful and healthy. It's also helpful and healthy to use Don's massive data to look back and say, Why did some things really get embraced and why are other things falling by the wayside? And one of the examples he uses is neuroscience. And he's saying that neuroscience doesn't interest the group Bs, but it does interest the group A's. And to me, again, that's perfectly explicable that, you know, I think to not keep an eye on what neuroscience is telling us about learning would be utterly insane, because one of the things that neuroscience is giving us wonderful information about is how we learn, but it's not concluded. There are things we do know, like we know that reflection is a critical part of learning. We know that emotion is part of learning. It's not just a cognitive process. We know that people who are engaged and have a desire and a reason to learn, learn more effectively than those who are bored and being told that they've got to do something. All of that stuff emerges from contemporary neuroscience research. And it's kind of appeared in the zeitgeist without the neuroscience label now. If I say to anyone, you've got to build in reflection, hardly anybody will push back and say, reflection's a waste of time. You should be learning even more. They say, yes, yes, you're right. That actually comes from contemporary neuroscience research. So I think that that consciousness of the two processes, if lots of people read this report, a little penny might drop. And people say, right, it's fair enough that I'm not getting on top of the latest trend because I don't need to just now. And it's also, people will look at it and say, yes, I should be on the latest trend because I have to create a climate where this can be picked up later by the majority of people in L&D. So, you know, I think that in itself offers an insight that is worth registering and perhaps indeed celebrating. So that's why I think we should be talking about it, Martin.
Good, a thorough response there, but so a couple of things for me. It's probably worth looking at the data just to see what the trend is, you know, what the top trends are. And also, you know, Don uses this group A, group B to say, suggest rather, that there is a watershed because there's a difference between the interest, excitement, adoption of showing value and consulting more deeply with the business between groups A and B. So for group A, that's that they're far more important than they have been. And for group B, they remain far further down the list of priorities. And so that's interesting because
it is interesting. They're, and it's a reflection of the business as well, Martin, that, yeah. You know, that I can tell you, I've spoken to maybe 5 or 6 L&D people who are being slammed around the head at the moment by the business saying, what impact are you making? Not how many hours of learning. Oh, did you develop 3 new e-learning programs? Oh, that's exciting. No one cares. What is the impact? So people who didn't need to focus on that now do. That's fine.
But so the thing about this piece that I find quite interesting, I think you've touched upon this, is the idea of ideas versus impact. And maybe there's a warning sign in here that there's too big a gap between some of the ideas and the actual impact of those ideas. Now, yes. To me, showing value to the business and understanding the business need just don't seem to be out there ideas. And I think that's just quite shocking.
It is shocking.
That is perceived as being sort of forward thinking ideas for the future, yeah, that are lagging behind. I mean, they're not. This is just basic how a business works. If you're not doing something the business needs, then why are you doing it? I mean, it's quite simple.
I agree. So
there's that element of that. And the other thing I'm just thinking here is when I first read this, I just thought this data set seems to be diced and sliced in a whole number of ways, which is beginning to confuse me. And I think it's just an interesting example of how data and insight is communicated, actually. I think Don's doing an interesting job doing the analysis, but actually, you know, how are we telling that story? I think he's doing that in this, but you probably need a lot more data to be really able to draw out more of these kinds of insights about groups that are have the ideas and groups who are, you know, putting them into action. Because it's unclear to me what that means, you know, because if the ideas people are L&D professionals who are putting them into action, where do they sit in this? You know, there was just, it just throws up more questions for me in terms of how data is diced and what insights are presented in which way and for what reason. So I think it's interesting, and I think it's really worth looking at, because the data is an interesting sort of bellwether of what's going on in L&D.
Yes, I agree with you. I think bellwether is the right word. I also think it's a little bit of a wake-up call that what we're made aware of is that things that seem to me so utterly obvious are not necessarily percolating right the way through the system. I think it will, and I think it'll happen sooner rather than later. On says 2020 is a watershed year, because this is the year when that flip will happen. And he may well be right. I hope he's right in many ways, because the idea of people going about their daily business with absolutely no focus whatsoever on the impact they make in the organization is frankly shocking. But I can understand that where your focus is inward looking, focusing on learning metrics and quantum, then it's easy to get caught up in that. And indeed, when I was a CLO, I was like that. That's what I thought I had to do. And I'm almost embarrassed and ashamed. But that was 10 years ago. And I wouldn't be doing that now. But there clearly some people are. So I think we should thank Don. I should thank him for giving us the opportunity to have a really good debate, Martin. Thank him for drawing our attention to an interesting dichotomy between ideas and action. And also putting his finger on a kind of crisis in L&D, really, that if we don't move forward fast, we're going to be utterly and completely irrelevant. And that's, to me, at that point, it's, goodbye, L&D. And we should probably say goodbye to From Scratch for this week, Martin. What do you think?
Yeah, and it's goodbye from us. That was brilliant. Enjoyed that. Thanks, Nigel.
Thank you very much, Martin. It's always a pleasure.
From Scratch.